And we had one of those five Thursdays again, I believe. So we haven't spoken to Wyndham Town Supervisor Thomas Hoyt in a few weeks. Mr. Hoyt, welcome back.
Mr. Ryan, thank you.
We haven't talked to you since Groundhog Day, have we? I don't think so.
Every day runs in every day this time of year.
Well, you've had quite a spell going on here now. And the reason we're talking to you, folks by now should know, you have two town board meetings every month. This Thursday is the first of the meetings for this month. Anything on the agenda before we get to what you've been going through the past few days?
No, there's nothing special on the agenda. We will have a public hearing that we put out there earlier in the year about the exemption for the firemen that live in the town but serve in another district. That will be a public hearing this coming Thursday.
Right, and what that involves is they come up with a way to try to get new members, partly giving them a tax incentive. It was for when you're a volunteer in your own district. But now this applies to someone who may live in Wyndham, but perhaps is a firefighter in Ashland or some other town.
So we'll have a public hearing on it. The county's going to have a public hearing on their law as well soon. And then once they adopt their law, then we'll adopt ours. But we're going to get the public hearing part out of the way.
How many folks might this impact?
Probably about a half dozen, I believe.
Oh, good. The same thing applies to EMTs?
Emergency personnel.
So that public hearing, that will probably be before the regular meeting starts, like quarter of, 10 of?
I think we have it scheduled for 6:50.
Because oftentimes these public hearings don't take a lot of time. They're pretty routine stuff, but the regular meeting starts at 7, so this public hearing will begin at 6:50 tomorrow night, Thursday night. I guess we can get to what's been going on. You were on the radio rather unexpectedly last week. And you had a pretty serious situation. How did it start? How did it get through the middle? And where did it end?
Wednesday night, I received one text, after another text, after a phone call. Some residents of town observed water boiling out of the sidewalk in front of Wyndham Fine Arts. I got a phone call from our patrolman, Pete Morales, and he told me the same thing. And I got a hold of water superintendent as well, Kyle Schwartz, and passed the message on to him. I showed up on site and determined that it was the main on the church side of 23.
Wow.
Kyle showed up and we had to shut down the service to the town, the main line down, because it was such a substantial leak that we had to get it under control before we totally did lose the reservoir up on Indian Heights. Pretty active for a few moments.
Now, this was Wednesday night. It wasn't exactly warm Wednesday night, was it?
When I left Main Street at 10:30 that night, it was 10 degrees.
Whoa. I'm kind of confused. You say there's a leak. How do you notice a leak? What is it? Is it rushing up? How does that work?
It was actually boiling out of the ground. You've seen the movies where somebody runs over a fire hydrant and the water comes shooting out of the ground.
Yep.
It wasn't shooting that high out of the ground, but it was probably coming out 2 or 3 inches high on the Wyndham Fine Arts, and then it hit the sidewalk and ran all the way down past the Mill Rock.
Going into
the catch basins, we figured it was 200 to 300 gallons a minute getting out of the main.
And what happens? The pipe just froze somewhere, or what happened?
Mother Nature just shifted the earth a little bit and put pressure on that pipe, and it actually snapped on the top. We've had them happen before in the past. This line is fairly new. It was put in 20-some years ago, and it was properly put in. Just Mother Nature.
Sure, the ground's moving all the time. I mean, I walk in the woods and walk now. I don't know what they call it, but the ground is like, you just crash right through it. So it's always moving around.
It's always moving, but it did happen. And like I said, we were able to get it under control and shut it off. People were inconvenienced for a while. And seeing the impending snowstorm was coming, we had to reach out to a private contractor that's kind of on standby when we need emergency work, and that's Evergreen Mountain from West Kill. Their supervisor was out, Dan Diamond. We all know Danny.
Sure.
He was out there at 10:30 that night working with us, getting things shut off, and we started getting equipment moved in that night. So by daybreak, we were ready to go first daybreak, starting to jackhammer and doing the repair.
That's what you got to do. You got to jackhammer stuff to get down in the ground to get at this pipe, which is how deep?
The main's 6 feet down, but it was in the shoulder of the road, and there's like a foot of asphalt, so we had to get a hammer on an excavator. We were able to score one with Hickory Hill Excavation. Jim Miltenberg loaned his machine to Evergreen, seeing it was right there in town, instead of them trucking one in. They tracked it up there and poked a hole through the blacktop, and Dan started to dig it, and they found where the problem was, and they made the proper repair, and I believe by 10 o'clock the following morning, they got the town back up and running.
That's hard work in the middle of the summer, much less having to deal with the winter and the ground being hard, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you have the pipe? You got spare pipe laying around?
We have a spare pipe up at the highway garage. We've got repair clamps up at the highway garage. You always hope you have enough in stock when you have a break.
Unbelievable. So, Jay, what, you listen to this?
Of course.
That's unbelievable. I mean, these guys are out there. That's crazy. That's crazy work right there.
You know, and I marvel just at the speed of the reaction. I mean, the first thing was Tom had called us. We got the word out that equipment and manpower was mobilizing and getting in place. And as Supervisor Hoyt says, you know, at first sign of daybreak, they were out there breaking ground and getting this under control.
And Danny Diamond, he's got that maple syrup farm over there in Westkill or Lexington, wherever it is. You can always count on Danny Diamond to come out and help you when the chips are down.
I have a question for Mr. Hoyt. At what point or where is it on the surface that you can access the water main and shut it off? Because you didn't dig until morning, so how do you get to the water?
Throughout the town, we should strategically place valves within the main itself, so they have a cap. Okay. You take the cap off, then you use a tool that has a square nut welded on the end of it.
Right.
And it's on a big steel rod. It goes down to the top of the nut. And then you turn that, and that turns the valve off in the ground to shut the water off.
So the valve was in the proper place to arrest the water, keep it from flowing and spilling out. So you were kind of lucky in that regard.
The old system had one on one end and maybe one in the middle if you're lucky. In the new system, we put them throughout the system so we could shut it off here and shut this street off and down the line. If it had been a break during the summer when it wasn't just 10 degrees, we could have shut the line off and ran a fire hose from one hydrant to another hydrant further down the road and shut a valve off down there and jumped the break. But at 10 degrees, you're not going to go through that exercise.
As it was, though, water was interrupted from Mill Street all the way down to Hickory Hill, down by Drew and Natasha's.
We were able to isolate it for that distance. It did affect some pressure above Mill Street, but low pressure is better than no pressure.
How does this get paid for? I mean, you got the pipe laying around, I guess. Mr. Schwartz is involved. Do you get overtime to people? Because that's hard.
No, Kyle is a salary individual, so he gets paid regardless if he has to put in 100 hours a week or 1 hour a week. The water district, seeing we usually hired the town highway guys for the water repairs, but they were out plowing snow, so we went to a vendor. So the water district will get billed by Evergreen Mountain. And then that goes into where we budget money within the water account for repairs. You never even want a water break. If you have a water break, you want to fix it with your own crew, because when you hire an outside agency, they have to pay prevailing rate, and repair gets more costly than if you do it in-house.
Yep. So you didn't have to get rural network or any of those folks involved.
If we hadn't been able to locate it, we would have had to get rural water to come up here to help us locate it. But seeing it was coming out of the ground at such intense rate of speed, we knew where the location was.
And the reservoir now, what happens to all the water that has pumped out, and what shape is the reservoir in?
We had the reservoir back to full capacity within a day and a half. Now, the reservoir is not surface water. It's all groundwater. It comes from wells.
And then where does the water just drains back into the ground then?
What was from the break, it got into the drainage system and ended up back in the Batavia Kill, and it's probably halfway to New York City by now.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So, obviously, you wanted to get this done fast because people got to go to work, et cetera, et cetera. So, I know you were on the radio letting people know, and it's good to hear that it's all fixed up. Well done, sir, and whoever else was involved.
Danny and his guys came in and knocked it out, and it was all for the best, you know. We got everyone back up and running before a busy weekend.
And you got your tootsies a little bit cold, huh?
It's not the first time. It won't be the last time.
I remember this happening before. It's happened over in Hensonville, I know for sure. I wrote a story about it a while back. One of these things happen. It can be a mess, and if you don't get at it, it could be worse, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it usually happens in the winter time because the ground moves more in the winter. You know, some of our neighboring villages, they've had some leaks in the last couple of days, weeks. And it's just time-consuming. Like I told Joe on the radio, I kind of jinxed myself. because the reporter from the Daily Mail called because they had some issues in Catskill. I said, well, we put all this money in our water beans. We haven't had any in a while. And lo and behold, 2 days later, we have one. So,
on the other hand, let's talk about some good news. The last time we were on the radio, I believe we were talking about robins and this and blackbirds and who red-winged blackbirds and who comes first and all that kind of stuff. Right after that conversation, we got a call from Lexington that they had seen a robin. And this was last Wednesday, I believe, right, Jay?
That is correct.
So there's robins, and we had a little fun with you. I don't know if you heard the show, but we were talking about who comes first, red-winged blackbirds. Christine Dwan is the one who told me the red wings come first. And Ginny Gurley, you know that name, Ginny Gurley?
Yep.
Apparently she's in on this, too. And so if you want to have an argument with those two ladies, you go right at it. But apparently the red-winged blackbirds do come first sometimes, but on this occasion, the robins won. Have you seen any in Wyndham?
I have not yet, but maybe the supervisor in Wyndham was right on this one that we do get robins first. I don't know. I want to start an argument, but, you know.
He's sticking to his guns, Mr. Fink.
Yes, he is.
Well, anyway, Lexington's colder than here, I think, but they had robins first, so hooray, it's starting to happen. And you can feel it a little bit, you know what I mean? The sun is a little hotter, whatever, but we'll get there soon enough.
We all know there's still a lot of winter left, but the days are getting longer, and the sun is getting higher, and before you know it, we'll be talking about trout season.
So, you have your town board meeting tomorrow night. You're starting a few minutes early for a public hearing, and it's to benefit EMTs and firefighters, so it's a worthwhile public hearing. Other than that, it's just routine business as usual. Sometimes these meetings go pretty quickly.
I do have to. I know Jay's going to say we don't need to, but I'd like to put a shout out that the town really appreciates this radio station to get this information out at the snap of a finger, because people tune in. They were happy to hear it that night. They were happy to hear it the next morning that there was progress, and it's good. It's really good.
It is nice to hear that, you know, that get the town officials on there, and there's responsibility. Everybody feels comfortable and safe. It's really well done. Now, was Joe Lavero involved in this, or was Jay handling it?
I talked to Jay that night, and then the next morning I did a little update with Joe, and he just shut down the music. We went live and let everyone know that the crews were mobilized. We were working on it to let everyone know when, if all that good stuff was kind of under control. So, again, thanks to Jay, thanks to Joe, thanks to Supervisor Wittorco at the school. You know, I talked to John that night, told him what our problem was. He made arrangements to, you know, to cancel school even before the snowstorm, because I told him we weren't going to have his school back up on board. So, you know, same thing. Here's our superintendent of schools answering the phone at 10 o'clock at night as well. So it just shows there's a lot of community here.
There's government in action, and also the school being responsive, and it turned out to be just a nice small-town story after all.
Yep.
Well, Thursday night, 6:50, and we will speak to you again in 2 weeks unless something else happens.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.